1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000 watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 19th of August, Anno Domini 2007, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. We have a full roster of the Soundbites people back again. And Glenn Lambert.
Who is that guy back in the
Yeah, I know. You know, Glenn always laughs when I just say my name. Glenn, go ahead. I know you feel left out. Who are you? Go ahead, say your name.
I'm Glenn Lambert.
There you go.
Yes.
Well, see, when he walks in before the program, I help him rehearse his line. I'm Rob Linton. I'm Rob Linton.
We forgot who
I'm
he was.
I'm Rob Linton.
And he gets
I'm
it right
Rob
every time.
Linton.
I almost forgot how to use the equipment here. I needed a refresher.
We can get Dan back
push
in
the
to train
record
you.
Button.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Just call me Eeny Meeny with the buttons.
You know? We got a pick on you. You've been gone for a while.
And we're all back as a group. I was off last week because I was at the Renaissance Festival.
A little bit of time travel involved.
Exactly. Had a great time. Took the 2 days and did the whole weekend, so it was very pleasant, very nice. SourceFire has acquired Clam AV, an open source gateway antivirus and anti-malware project, in the company's first purchase since it went public in March. Columbia, Maryland-based SourceFire state that Clam AV will extend the company's enterprise threat management network security portfolio. With nearly 1 million unique IP addresses downloading Clam AV malware updates daily, the antivirus engine has arguably become one of the most broadly adopted open source security projects worldwide. Clam AV is just that. It's an open source antivirus and anti-malware project. I run it on my machines. We run it on our web server, particularly on our mail server. So it's nice to see that Clam AV has been acquired and therefore will continue to run. There's a, you know, now they've got some backing. Now they've got some money. They can actually keep people working. It's great. And
life is good.
I'm delighted actually to hear that. Let's go right to the phones, and our first caller is Dick from West Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Dick. What's your question?
I have a HP Pavilion, and I run Windows XP Home Edition on it.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the other day, my son was using it, and the Norton antivirus update thing came on, so he ran it. And when he turned it off and started it back up again, now we get to a screen that says, to begin, click your username. There are no options to click, though. And so the best thing that I can do is hit Control-Alt-Delete a couple of times, which takes me to a login screen,
mm-hmm.
and it asks for a password, which, if I have one, I don't know what it is.
Do you just click OK? Does it do anything?
Tried that. I've left it blank and clicked OK, and it just gets me the screen that says you've got to, that's wrong, you got to plug in whatever.
Well, what's the username? Is it username?
Well, when that screen comes up, it says that my username is my name. Now, whether that's accurate or not, again, I don't know, because I've had this for like 3 years. And, you know, my recollection is maybe when I first had it,
yeah, that's
you know,
what you
this
did.
Used to yeah. happen and I would click on something, but it's got to be a year or two.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just, you know, it would just go right to where it was supposed to
yeah.
go.
Yeah, when you first set up the computer, you created a username and password, and Windows has been remembering it all along.
Right.
Yeah. And now that you have to enter your username and password, it's tricky because you've forgotten.
What you can do is if you reboot, since you're doing XP Home,
yeah.
Reboot, press F8, go into safe mode.
Yeah, I've done that.
Gone into under the administrator.
Yeah, and I leave that blank, and it still doesn't work.
You've also created an administrator password.
Yeah. And you don't have any clue what that is.
Believe me, between yesterday and today, I've tried.
How many users were on logged?
Just me.
Just you?
Yeah. I mean, why I did that now, in retrospect, I have no idea. But, you know, that was what I was afraid of, is that I did create something, and now I just don't know what it is.
Have you tried just hitting enter?
Yeah, you said.
You mean leaving the password part blank?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, I've tried that with both my name in the username and typing in administrator in the username. you know, I just get the same message.
Are there any common passwords you would typically have used?
Yeah, I mean, I've racked my brain. I've tried.
It's possible that the password table has gotten corrupted, and that's why it's not working. Okay. If you're lucky, it's just the password table.
That's something somebody'd have to go in and play around.
Typically, we'd boot another hard drive and then look at those files and then
play around with it
that way.
Yeah, it's something that'd have to go in.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're going to have to take that into somebody.
Now, if you install Windows Fresh, it will create a new username and password, and your data files would be intact.
But the user is still going to look for the password.
Even if you make a new username?
Well, with a new Windows,
it'll see the username that's already there.
If you reinstall it over, it's just going to use the existing ones because it doesn't need to create a new one.
So these disks that I have, the system recovery CD, they're not going to do anything?
Yeah, they'll do something for you.
They'll wipe it out and start fresh.
Yeah, they'll erase your hard drive and restore the computer to as if you just bought it.
Which means all of your data that you've been saving all these years will be gone.
If you don't mind that, that'll get you back and running. But if you want to recover your data, you need to boot that machine on, or that hard drive in a different machine.
Which is something somebody else might have to do, is if they pull that hard drive out, they can save like all your emails, your documents, everything else. Burn it off to another hard drive.
Can any of you guys do that?
Yeah, we do it.
We got a phone number or something?
NRIPC 442-4843, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
I'm sorry, could you do it one more time?
Yeah, it's NRIPC. We're at 70 Empire Boulevard. And the number is 442-4843, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
All righty. Thanks. Our next caller is Richard from Palmyra, New York. Welcome, Richard. What's your question?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I had a problem with my standby. It's restarting automatically. I went on the website. I have an HP Pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
I went on the website and tried to resolve it. And it said to unplug the device to see if the problem's there. I did unplug all the devices except for a hub I have, and it still did it. And I unplugged the hub, and it stopped doing it. Now, I thought maybe it's a wired Netgear or a four-port hub, and I changed it from 1 to 4, restarted it, tried it that way, and it's still doing it. And I'm just wondering, could it be the hub, or do you think there's something?
Well, it's got to be something to do with the hub and the USB stuff. Now, is this a laptop or a desktop?
It's a desktop. I have actually two desktops hooked through the hub. I tried a shared network with me, and my wife's got it on there. But that kind of hub.
Oh, yeah, it's still getting an Ethernet signal, that's why. So, there's two things.
How can I just disconnect the shared network?
Well, you could, but the reality is that desktops are really not designed to go into standby mode.
Okay.
Even laptops don't work very well.
But they're not really designed to go into standby mode. They'll kind of do it, but nobody's going to promise... Right, that it's going to work right.
You're better off just turning off the monitor to save power or turn the computer off at the end of the day.
And go into the energy saving settings in the control panel to make sure they're all set to none.
Right. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe at 16 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 20 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Soundbites. Well, as you probably already guessed, Vista, the kernel in Vista has been dogged by a lot of bad drivers. There was ATSIB, which was a kernel driver that just basically was open to the world. Then the ATI driver that allowed random arbitrary memory writes into the Vista kernel. And now WinPCAP has been actually out even longer than that. It's an open source packet sniffing driver, and it's causing all the same kind of problems. You know, Microsoft does have a case when they say that the operating system is actually more secure than we think it is. Because a lot of the problems that come along come from a lot of these third-party drivers and stuff like that. So if you are indeed using WinPCAP or ATSIV or the ATI, the older ATI driver, definitely update everything you've got. There's no fix yet for WinCAP, but for the others, make sure that you're updated to the latest version because they all have holes in them. All right, our next caller is Dave from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Yeah, I've got... PC that I've been running for several years, and I just wanted to upgrade, so I got another box right next to it which I've sort of rehabbed. I've reinstalled all my applications and everything using Outlook Express. And what happens, I've been downloading some large files from my customer. On the old machine, I can take a 14-megabyte file, and it loads right in. On the new machine, and I swear it's set up the exact same way, it will not take files larger than some size. I don't know the exact amount. I mean, I can take like a 200K file, and it comes right in, but the 14-meg, it chokes. And I've been narrowing it down for several hours here. The email scanner in AVG Free, and I mean, there's configured exactly the same on both machines, but for some reason the thing chokes.
You got the same amount of memory?
Actually, the new machine has more okay. RAM than the old one.
What do you mean by chokes?
Well, what happens is when you go to Outlook Express and you say download, it goes through the downloading procedure, and then there's sort of a second step, which I think is the AVG part of it. And on the old machine, it would, boom, all of a sudden the message would appear in your inbox, and on the new machine, it'll show downloading. It'll hang up after like 3%.
So you are getting a percent bar. Some of the versions of Outlook don't give you a percent bar. They just say downloading. And if you're downloading a file, it looks like it's hung. And we've had so many clients will abort it thinking it's hung. And then they try to go in again, and it re-downloads everything again because it knows it didn't finish the first time.
Yeah. No, if I let it sit long enough, I'll get a server timeout. You know, it'll say my
If you're downloading... On both machines, you say they're identical, but do you have more mail in the new one than in the old one?
Let's see.
And what's the difference in processors?
Well, let's start with the size of the mailboxes, and here's the reason I ask. There is a 2 gigabyte file size limit on the DBX files in Outlook Express.
On each individual one?
On each individual one. So
right.
If, for example, you had more files in your inbox.
I keep it clean.
Uh-huh.
Well, do you do the compact mailbox command? Because when you delete messages, they don't actually remove the space from the DBX file.
Every day.
Okay. Well, the first thing to try is to turn off your email virus scan temporarily.
Right, yeah. And then it does work.
It works fine. Okay, so there's your problem. It's a problem with how that email antivirus scan is configured.
Right, but it's configured. When I go to that part under the AVG, they're identical. They're both updated as of 7:27 this morning.
And are you using maybe like Zone Alarm?
Yeah, I turned that off, and that wasn't a variable that seemed to have any real effect on it.
Okay, wondering whether that.
Like I said, I've been at this for several hours because it takes me. I'm the guy on satellite out here, and it takes me a while to upload and download 14 megabytes.
Right.
We heard from a couple of people about Wild Blue satellite service and how much they liked it.
Yep.
For people in the outlying areas that can't get cable or DSL.
Right. I'd rather have DSL, and supposedly it's coming, but Wild Blue is a good trade-off.
Yeah.
So, I guess I didn't...
Have you tried uninstalling and reinstalling AVG?
Well, that's my next one.
Yeah. So even though the configuration looks the same, there's something different, something not working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
hey, it won't take you that long. I mean, the fast program to uninstall and in... You know, reboot right. And then install again.
Yep.
So give it a shot. Let us know.
Okay, we'll do.
Thank you.
Because that's been a problem with a lot of the antivirus programs that do email scanning. It interrupts the download, sends it, grabs a hold of it, scans it, and then sends it back.
Right.
Yep.
All right, our next caller is Joe from Webster, New York. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Hello. In the last 3 days, I have gotten... Something has infected my computer. It's every 6 minutes on the dot, it comes up with, your privacy is in danger. And it then leads me to two anti-spyware websites that every 4 minutes and every 5 minutes, these things pop up and you can't stop it, and it's asking you to pay money.
Yeah, right. You've been hijacked.
Yeah, I have Norton. We tried everything I can do on Norton. I have recovered.
No, Norton won't get rid of it.
Okay.
It's not a virus. It's spyware.
Yeah, it's spyware. Right. And what you want to do is download and run both AVG and SpyBot.
Well, your best thing to do.
Somebody downloaded AVG for me.
Well, so. Again, you misspoke. AVG is also an antivirus program.
I'm sorry. Hold on.
Yeah, Adware.
Have you danced the entire security tango?
No, I do not.
Probably that's what you need to do. The reason being that a lot of times these things hide in areas that normally you can't get at unless you're in safe mode or you've turned off the restore feature and all of that stuff.
So is that because one of the times when Norton was running, it was the second time.
Yeah.
It was only for like 2 minutes. Then something happened. it told me to turn off safe mode and go into procedures like that. I had a printout on how to turn off the safe mode. You suggest turning off the safe mode and then running Norton?
You can't turn off safe mode. You boot into safe mode. When you boot the computer, start hitting the F8.
Let me suggest that you go to securitytango.com.
Yep.
Click the Let's Dance button. Print out that page and follow step by step. Now, Norton is a good product, so you can use that where it says to, you know, run your antivirus software. But definitely follow step by step and don't skip any.
Although recent polls have shown that 80% of viruses get through Norton and McAfee because they are the known antivirus.
Right, that's
programs.
One of the reasons we suggest AVG.
Yeah. Okay.
So you might want to try that. But that's what you need to do. I'm afraid to say that, but that's kind of where it stands right now. You need to run the Tango in order to do all the things that let the software get at the places that viruses hide. We're going to take a quick break. The mighty Glenn Lamberts is in. He's going to be giving us the news, the weather, the sports, all the things that you really listen to Wham for. And then on the other side of that, we'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. At 28 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, and we're all delighted to be back together again. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
You know what? If it makes his day, I'm all for it. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Yes. And, it's just simple things in life.
Yes. 33 minutes after the hour.
Am I throwing you a curve by the sci-fi quiz? I apologize. I should have checked with you first, maybe.
Steve will know.
Yeah. See?
I don't recognize it offhand, so I'm Googling it.
Yeah, really?
It's a common quote. A lot of people use it in their blogs.
Yeah, right. These guys are termites or Dalmatians. I'm not sure. I've been hungover. All right, the answer is Galaxy Quest.
Oh, yeah, the Thermiites were the actual name
thermites.
Of the race.
Yeah, Thermiites. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Played by Enrico Colantoni.
Yeah, and what a job he did.
Hey, we all know that.
I have been to conventions like that when the Klingons are at the urinals making fun of the guests.
Exactly. Hey, that's one of my
Klingons.
No, I've never been a Klingon. I've dated some Klingons, but I've never been a Klingon.
he speaks Klingon. There was the time that I spent days laboriously memorizing the Klingon phrase for get a life. I said it to him, and then he spoke back to me in Klingon for like 10 minutes, and I thought, okay, you win. Shut up.
Okay, yeah. There's no winning. Yeah, he. It was for his benefit because there are few people on the planet who are more sci-fi informed than he is.
That's right.
It's a really, Galaxy Quest with Tim Allen, it's a fun movie, but if you're especially into fandom, you recognize so many of the stereotypes and
don't
the in
really?
Jokes. And,
oh, it's just, I was on the floor.
You had to rip your shirt, didn't you?
Yes, right. Right, you had to get your shirt off. Yep. You know, he's being clobbered. It's all about you, isn't it?
I've only got one job on this stupid ship, and I'm going to do it well.
That's really annoying. Oh, my.
Nichols is going to be on Heroes this year.
George Takei has been on.
He's
Heroes
been, but
father.
Nichols will be on now.
All the crossovers. It's really neat. Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Galaxy Quest has one
newsroom.
Of those great orchestral themes. And
about
time for a sequel.
Yeah.
99 that came out. It's almost 10 years now.
And did you know that in the new Star Trek, when they go back to the Academy days, who's going to play Spock?
Siler's playing
Siler.
Spock. I don't see that at all.
No, I think it's brilliant. The guy who plays Siler on Heroes, the bad guy in Heroes.
Oh,
I
yeah,
think it's
yeah,
brilliant
yeah.
casting.
Yeah, wow. Well.
There are literally thousands of people right now going on their radio going, what happened? What's going on here?
They're computer geeks, which means many of them are also sci-fi geeks. There's no question. And
my
I know
ship
you don't
will
call
tear
it
through
sci-fi.
Yours like tissue paper. That was one of my favorite lines then, like tissue paper.
And one of Justin Long's early movies, and now he's the Mac guy on the Mac versus
right?
PC. Yes.
Exactly.
Do you remember the last Starfighter?
That's a great film.
That was great.
Oh,
yep.
Great
film. Had Robert Preston in it. How could it not be a great
exactly.
film?
That was the first movie to make extensive use of digital CGI spaceships.
Yeah. That's the reason I went to see it, and then Robert Preston showed up on screen. I thought, okay, I'm happy now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and he tried to get a band going. I don't know what that was about, and I'm only kidding.
Yeah. All right. For you people who don't like Ubuntu, you'll love this news story. The Ubuntu community had to yank 5 of their 8 Ubuntu-hosted community servers sponsored by Canonical after discovering that the servers had been hijacked and were attacking other machines. It was suggested during an internet relay chat meeting of the Ubuntu co-location team that the source of the troubles might have been a Chinese IP address trying to log onto the servers by brute force for a long time now, it seems, said a participant. And on August 14th, the community began to bring the machines back up in a safe state so they could recover data from them. Unfortunately, the servers were all found to be out of date, stuffed with web software and missing security patches. Any attacker could have gotten a shell through almost any of these sites, said Ubuntu community manager Jono Bacon, regarding a change in location server policy that resulted from the innocent incident. This has been a big problem for them. They're fixing it. They figure nobody actually got damaged in any way, but everybody should make sure that their systems are clean. This is what happens when you trust your stuff to a third party. And they're not doing their job. This and is some clearly of it's the system catch, administration.
Yeah, some of it's the catch 22, but the server's working fine. We don't want to mess with it.
Right.
But you should install the updates.
Yeah, you should always update. We have that problem all the time at work. You know, things are running well. We really don't want to touch anything, but you need to. You have to. All right. Our next caller is Julie from Palmyra, New York. Welcome, Julie.
Hi. I have a desktop, and it's not even a year old. I have Windows XP Home on it. AMD Athlon dual core 64x2 dual core 4200 plus 2.21 gigahertz 1.0 gigabyte of RAM. So the problem is it keeps locking up on me, and programs that I use are mostly for greeting cards. I've got Printmaster, Word, Picasa, all of them. I'll be working in that. And I think it's called System Resources. It's a little square that appears down on your taskbar when the machine slows down. And there's, I think it's System Resources. That's the one thing I'm not sure of. But it locks up, and I'm thinking with 1.0 gigabyte of RAM, I don't know how it could.
Well, how many other things are running in the background? Yeah. Especially with relatively new machines, they come chock full of so much junk that trying to run a simple program can often exceed your resources.
Okay, that I don't know how to check out.
Yeah, if you hit Control-Alt-Delete while the machine is running, a task manager will pop up and show you, unfortunately, show you the names of all the processes running. You won't understand any of it, but if there's more than, say, a dozen of them there, then you probably have too many running.
Well, especially down, if you look down in the lower right-hand corner, if you see a lot of stuff there that there's even an arrow pointing to the left.
A lot of icons in that task.
There's a lot of icons down there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that could be a lot of stuff there loading that you don't need.
Yeah, okay. Unfortunately, nowadays, Julie, the reality is that a gig is a minimum if you're going to run a system, particularly if you have Printmaster and Word and Picasa all open at the same time. Your best bet at this point, I believe, is to take your system to a reputable vendor like Dave or Steve and have them clean it out and get rid of the stuff that's all temporary things that come with the machine
programs
and get loaded
you
whether
don't
you like
need
it
or running.
Right.
Yeah.
And they can clean that up and make your system a little faster and a little more stable. We're gonna take another break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 40 minutes after the hour. You are listening to Soundbites. This is 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, I'm making dirty jokes in the chat room for Soundbites. All right, I think I'll stop doing that now. Let's see. iPhone bills.
I've got a couple additions to that story, too.
Apple has modified its products in its attempt to build greener computers, but I think they forgot to tell AT&T about their latest environmental efforts. A few AT&T customers have been receiving iPhone bills inside inch or inches thick packages. The Ars Technica writers were the first to complain about the size of their iPhone's bills, which were 30 to 50 pages long. A woman named Justine Izaryk captured her experience on video as she unwrapped her 300-page iPhone bill. She says the bill accounted for almost 30,000 text messages and 200 minutes of talk time on her iPhone alone. Luckily for her, the total bill was only $274.81.
Think of the poor mail carrier, though, if they've got multiple clients.
Yeah, and am I going to get a 300-page phone bill every month?
Well, three things. Justine was on Twit with Lee Laporte talking about this. The $300 phone bill she got was mostly the activation fees, the prorated June.
I'm not talking about the cost of the phone bill.
The $300, 300-page bill, AT&T itemizes your bill.
Right.
Shows every single packet of data you transmitted, every single text message you transmitted. Doesn't show the content of the message, just that the fact that you did it.
Right.
And an AT&T spokesman said, well, we don't want to assume what people want, so we give them the detail. You can go on AT&T's webpage and get a summary bill, or you can get an e-bill and save the paper completely. But a lot of people questioned her. 30,000 text messages a month, 1,000 a day, but then 200 minutes. She barely uses the cell phone. She's texting all the time. That's and
a lot of people do it.
Well, and the other side of that is make sure you get the unlimited texting package.
I guess it's my age showing.
But I got her her video link.
Yeah, I am.
Your thumbs don't.
That's what the phone is for. Pick it up and call the person.
There was that fake story about the guy that had his thumbs surgically altered so he could type faster.
That turned out to be fake. Chet got caught by that earlier this week. He was telling this story, and I only heard about it secondhand, so I didn't get a chance to call in and correct him. But that was a fake story. The guy had his thumb shaved so he could use the keyboard better.
Keyboard faster. Well, the big thing that Justine was talking about is that she'll do... There's all these...
That was fake. It didn't really happen.
The surgery guy, yeah. There's a lot of social networking that our younger audience may know. You know, MySpace and Twitter and Pounce and Facebook, Jaiku and all these other message boards where you can post what you're doing right now, this instant. And it sends out as a text message to everyone.
Right.
And so that's the type of thing she was doing to rack up 30,000 text messages in a month.
Right.
There was another story about a guy that got a $5,000 bill. And what that turned out to be, a guy named Adam, what that turned out to be is he went to England. And so he was roaming because there's no AT&T.
Yeah, we see that a lot.
Yeah, AT&T doesn't have service for the iPhone outside the U.S. yet. So he went to England, and it's 2 cents a K. For roaming data charges.
Wow.
So he got a $5,000 bill.
And yeah, he would.
Now he doesn't know what to do about it.
Pay it.
Eventually is the way that's going to have to work.
I got a link to that, a picture of his bill on our website, too. So it's, so he transferred 250,000 K. So that's 250 megs of data.
Right.
At 2 cents a K.
Right. Nice.
And it probably says that somewhere in the fine print in your AT&T contract.
You just have to read it. Yeah. That's right. That's
roaming charges may apply.
Yep.
So, yeah, read your phone bills carefully before you sign the contract.
Exactly. All right, our next caller is Tim from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Tim. What's your question?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got XP Pro. Now, I've got something that's funny in my startup menu. I think it's a virus. So what's the command when you type in to see what boots up?
If you go to the start and go to run and you type msconfig.
Oh, that's it, msconfig.
Okay. You go to msconfig, go to the startup bar, and you'll see what's being loaded there. You might also want to check in the startup folder, which is under programs.
Yeah, I looked in there. There's nothing in there.
So what's
the name of the thing you think is a virus?
I can't remember what it is. No, I don't have it, but it's been in there for 6 months. But the Spybot knocks it out every time. It denies it access to the registry.
Okay.
Well, one of the problems with Windows, is that a lot of the real Windows processes have odd names, and you may not know what they are. And one of the big examples was Outlook Express. The actual name of the program is MSIMN.com.
Okay.
And if you don't remember that's Internet Mail and News, because that's what it used to be called, your firewall or antivirus will pop up and say, IMN is trying to access the Internet, and you'll say no, and then your email quits working.
Right.
So a lot.
But in this case, it sounds like if Spybot is quarantining it, that's good.
Again, Google that name and see what comes back.
Again, let's suggest that you dance the tango, see what happens. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 50 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. All right, kiddies, it's that time once again. Get on your footy jammies, grab your mugs of hot cocoa, and sit Indian style in an arc around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Huh? Mm-hmm.
Time for Story Hour, Uncle Dave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wake up.
Oh, I am tired over this one. I mean... And this is against some of the folks that are in my business. And what I'm talking about is I just had a young lady just came in. Matter of fact, picked up her computer yesterday. She's going down to NYU. And the young lady was having problems with her machine. She took it in for service there. And they literally screwed it up. They fed her a line of BS saying that they wiped out the machine and did it, blah, blah, blah. And when they, you know, and she paid for all this, and they were very insulting to her, too. And her dad heard this all going on. The guy, even at the store, I told her, I said, I'm surprised you didn't pick up the phone and start beating the guy with it. Because, I mean, with that type of customer service, but just had the attitude, well, you know, she's some college kid. She doesn't know any better, but she knew what was going wrong with her computer. And the people in my profession treated her like crap is the best way to put it and didn't really fix her computer. And they told her they did this, this, and that. And it was clear that when they brought it into me, they didn't. And why I get so upset is because now, you know, when folks bring it in, they go, they are automatically in their mind, I know it, they're thinking, well, how bad is this guy going to screw me?
And that's unfortunate, that, but it's common across the entire service industry that you take your car to the garage and, oh, it's just going to screw me now. But most of us are honest and fair.
We try
and,
to be. Yeah. I mean, you know, like I told her, you know, I mean, put my name out here every week. And, you know, luckily, knock on for Micah, we're coming up on 18 years. And the only thing I've had is folks calling, complimenting me on it because I treat people the way I'd want to be treated. If I go to a certain place, you know, I want to be treated fairly and honestly. Don't BS me because you can't snow a snowman. And just go with it. But for this girl, you know, I apologize for some of the other folks in our field that, you know, we're not all out there to take advantage of folks. Some of us really do care about our profession and try to give folks a fair deal.
All right, everybody. It's time to give Uncle Dave his shot. Put him back to sleep again. Go rinse out your cocoa mugs. Take off your footy jammies. Get your clothes back on. We'll keep Uncle Dave's rocker rocking. The auto rocker from UncleDave.com. We have the auto rocker on. And we'll bring him back out of hibernation next week. Very nice rant there, Uncle Dave. Very lovely. Very cute. All right. Do we have time for a call? I don't think we do. So we'll just keep mumbling for the next minute. Is that what we're talking about here? Or is it time to go? Or is there going to be music? Or what are you going to do with us here?
You know what you're doing in there?
Do you hear music?
No, I don't hear music.
Then it's not time to go.
All right, then we'll just keep talking. For those of you who don't know, we actually run a chat. We run a live chat every week. You can find out about it on the Soundbites website, of course. If you go to the what did I just do?
Of course, the WHAM website is incorrect because it says the webcam is supposed to be live from 9 to 11. You go to there.
It's live in here. The little light's blinking.
But you go to the webpage. If you go to WHAM 1180 WHAM. And go to the webcam,
mm-hmm.
It says, sorry, not available. But yet on that page, it says it's viewable from 9 to 1 o'clock.
If you've bookmarked the actual address of the camera, it works.
Well, yeah. Right. I mean, my key fob didn't work this morning either, so I think we've all been fired and nobody told us.
Mine
not
worked.
Really sure. Oh, yours worked, well, so you're all right
still
then.
Here. Yeah. I'm good, yeah. Well, you can always check it out via the... via the links thing. The show cam is listed on there and you'll be able to see that, so that'll be good. We are now, in fact, going to take a quick break. Glenn Lamberts is in. He will give you the news, the weather, the sports, the mellifluous tones of Glenn Lamberts. He always makes the news sound like something.
I gotta look that word up. I think that's, is that good?
It is good. Mellifluous is good.
What you said?
Yeah. Oh, okay. What I said is good. And when we're done, we will be back on the other side of the news. We've got all kinds of stuff to do with our website. We've got folks on the line. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We will get to you. But we'll be back on the other side of the news with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Ah, the boys. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. It's Sound Bites. Every week we do a poll. On our list, 2 weeks ago, the poll was, what input device do you use? Not shockingly, 78% of you use a mouse, followed by a trackball, a touchpad, the command line, baby, pen, tablet, other, and then there was a little eraser mice that are in the middle of the keyboard. I've been thinking about a trackball lately because of my carpal tunnel, but I haven't quite made the switch yet. I don't know that I'd like it as much. But I guess anything is possible. This week's poll is based on an interesting little problem that you should all know about. McAfee Labs has uncovered a new zero-day worm in the Yahoo Instant Messenger webcam and are warning people not to accept invites, as they call them, from people they don't trust until a patch is out. McAfee's Avert Labs is calling this a classic heap overflow that can be triggered when a victim accepts a webcam invitation. The issue was first discovered when it was reportedly on security forums in China. Avert Labs noted in a blog posting that this problem is not the same as the one Yahoo patched in June. That earlier vulnerability had to do with a buffer overflow in Yahoo's webcam ActiveX controls. Besides eschewing invites from strangers, Avert Labs is also advising Messenger users to block outgoing traffic on port 5100, TCP port 5100, until Yahoo patches the hole, which led me to my question of the week. What is your favorite video messenger? The choices that I gave are AIM, Google Talk, iChat, Skype, Trillion, Windows Live Messenger, Yahoo Messenger, something else, and nothing. And this is specifically for video messaging, of course. So far, we have had 75 people vote, and 67% of you use nothing, followed by 8% using the now hacked Yahoo Messenger, the now unstable, unsecured Yahoo Messenger, followed by Trillion, then AIM, then iChat. So please feel free to vote in the poll and tell us what your favorite Windows video messenger is. This is strictly for video messaging, of course, not just for regular text messaging, instant messaging. When you're done, check out the little yellow box underneath. Click on Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. He said, calm.
Now, the big question, which one is wearing Metallica and which one is wearing AC/DC?
And no, the bigger question is, why would anyone care one way or the other? At any rate, you can check out stuff there and check out my forums and all the things that I do every week. We have fun out there. And then come back and check out more of the Soundbites website, of course. So that's our poll of the week.
And now, we had quite a few people upset that there was no poll last week.
That is entirely my fault. I was in vacay mode because I was heading out to the Renaissance Festival, and I don't usually even create the news of the poll until Saturday night. So get something approximating new news in case there is any. And I was actually at Sterling when I thought, oh, my.
Now, if you'd have had a smartphone, you could have texted it in.
Yeah. No. No.
Not at the Renaissance Fair.
I actually spent an entire weekend doing analog stuff. The only digital thing we had was the clock in the car, on the dashboard. And we did analog all week long. We did have walkie-talkies so that my wife and I could keep track of the girls and annoy
find
them
each
every
other,
once in a while. Yeah. But no. I didn't even bring in. They have free high speed in the hotel room, and I did not bring a laptop. It was a whole weekend of no computer stuff. It was great.
Where did you find a hotel in Sterling?
Great. Actually, we're in Oswego.
Oh.
Same place we stay all
There's
time.
A really, really great meadery on that last little tiny road.
Meadery?
Meadery.
Oh, meadery.
On that last little road before you head up into the rest of the middle of nowhere.
Right. Yeah, right.
And
just off the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, but really, really good mead. We always stop and get some.
Ooh, have to check that out next time. Thanks. So that's our Soundbites poll of the week. And now, I think it would be a great idea for us to go back to the phones. Our next caller is Jeff from Webster, New York. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
MXP machine, upon shutdown, it seems to be deleting all of the Windows fonts. And when I turn it back on again, everything is in Wingdings.
Are the fonts actually missing from the fonts control panel folder?
Yes.
And so you have to reinstall them every time.
That's correct.
Well.
Cool.
That sounds like a joke program someone put on.
Yeah.
That'd be weird. Is that a virus? Or?
Could be this. Or not virus, but spam.
Well, it's a class of joke programs that people will do. It doesn't really hurt anything, but there could be.
Yeah, it does. It messes up your machine.
Yeah, there could be a program running that just deletes your fonts. One of the ones we used to do is you take a picture of someone's desktop, set that as their desktop picture, and then take all the real icons off the desktop and watch them try to click on the picture.
Yeah, we used to do that all the time. I don't know of one that does that. I do know that you can remove some fonts to make shutdown and start up faster, but I don't know of anything that does that in and of itself. That's an interesting, you may have found a new one there, Jeff.
Where would I look to find this program to get rid of it?
Well, again, I would dance the tango first and let the machine do its own job and see if that does it.
Okay.
So it would be in your startup folder.
Well, yeah, I was
going to
say, you might
want to
boot up in safe mode and see what's being loaded in your startup folder.
Okay. All right. Could it be attached to the shutdown at all? When it shuts down, would it be there?
Well, see, it could be a program that's set in your startup.
Yeah, there is no shutdown folder, is there?
No, there's no startup folder. To run as shutting down.
Okay.
See, it all gets triggered by the startup, and it tells it to, all right, upon exiting, run this program.
Okay.
At least they're leaving Wingdings.
Yeah, at least I see something.
So check there.
Okay. Well, I enjoy your show. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Thanks. All right, our next caller is Marty from Niagara Falls. Slowly we turn to Marty. Welcome, Marty. What's your question?
Hey, good morning. I got a Mac question, actually.
Well, thanks for calling.
I have a couple Windows computers, and I know that you clean out the internet cache and all that. Do you have to do that on a Mac?
Yes, and most of the browsers have their own empty cache folder.
Okay, but I have AOL and Firefox and all those, and I have it set so that it deletes it whenever you sign off. But does it save it on the computer where you would go to a control panel?
Yeah, it does save it on the computer, and the browsers themselves will delete that for you. They're all in invisible folders. There's several cache folders in your library. The browser can delete it itself, or as you've done, you can set the browser to delete them automatically when you quit.
Okay, so if Firefox deletes it, then that's all you have to do.
For Firefox, yes. Each browser has its own cache.
Right.
Right. There is also font caches that occasionally need to be cleaned, and that happens automatically if you leave your computer running. There are maintenance tasks for the Unix geeks. It's a cron job. That run once a day, once a week, and once a month between 2 and 3 a.m. that clean the cache files, sort of housekeeping inside the Unix layer. There are a couple of utilities that will clean that for you. Mac Janitor is one. Cocktail is one. So if you don't leave your computer on overnight.
Mac Janitor,
yeah. And it's the icon is a yellow mop bucket.
Sure.
Yeah. So that will clean, that will let you run the Unix maintenance tasks. And then the font caches, there's a program called Tiger Cache Cleaner, and there's another one called Font Finangler.
Nice.
That will clean your font caches. Now, typically when the font cache gets corrupt, characters are displayed either badly or in the wrong font when you look at them on a page. So that's usually what you see with font cache corruption.
Okay.
More common with designers that typically have thousands of fonts loaded and switching between them frequently.
All right. Well, like I said, I have it set to automatically delete, but I didn't know if you had to do extra with the Mac.
No, it pretty much handles it itself. If you go to Version Tracker, which is one of the big Mac software sites, and search for cache cleaner, you'll find the different cache cleaners where you can manually clean the cache with one shot, one program, rather than going to each browser individually.
Okay, well, I've seen the version. All right.
And then Safari has an additional command called Reset Safari that deletes all of your cookies, your cache, your history, your saved passwords, everything, and resets it back to as if you just started it. And that is often useful as a troubleshooting issue when web pages aren't opening right or it's remembering the wrong information, things like that.
Right. And I need to answer a burning question in the chat right now. People have been asking if I went in costume to the Renaissance Festival. Not this year. My wife is a costumer, and she makes period correct costumes, which means they're wool. And so when it's going to be as hot as it was this last weekend, I do not go in costume. Somebody says the doctor, I believe, said he has a picture of me in tights. That's possible. I have done shows where I have worn tights. I have also done shows where I wore a dress.
Yep.
And I have great gams. He's seen me.
Listen,
I have great
can
gams.
Can I get a blown up poster size of that?
Yeah, absolutely. It only costs you a dollar. Holy mother of pearl. Where did you get this? He's got a
newspaper clipping from 15 years ago.
An ad. Yeah, I mean, 94. Not an ad, a review of a show I did called Falstaff. I wrote an adaptation. How interesting is that? Thank you. I'll read that during the break, see what Michael Lasser thought of me. All right.
Over 13 years ago.
We're on to our next caller, who is Jeff from Webster, New York. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
I didn't really have a question. I had a suggestion.
Oh, good. Yeah, I got a suggestion for you, too. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
By the way, great show.
Thank you.
You got to call in about the password.
Yeah.
Probably the best thing to do would be buy a cheap hard drive, use that as his master hard drive, and he'd be able to get his data off his other.
Yes, that's what we were suggesting. You use another hard drive to boot that computer, and then you can get your data back. If that's not something you're comfortable doing, then you might want to bring it into someone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Also, I have a suggestion. You ever thought about doing an all-Linux show?
We just take the calls as they come in. If every call was about Linux, we would talk about Linux.
We should have Tony come in. He hasn't been in a while.
Well, Tony's moved out of town now.
Yeah, so. Tony.
Well, that's probably why.
It's a little harder now. We can have him call in, though. I'd be happy to do that.
He's going to do that. Matter of fact, we've been talking, Tony and I, and we will have Tony on the show within the next month or so.
I'd love to do an all Linux show, Jeff, but it really, you people call in, we answer your questions. And now we're just going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mr. Robert Linton himself, actually deigned to, Rob isn't short for Robert.
Yeah, but I don't like it.
Okay.
Robert
Mr.
F.
Robert Linton himself and me, Nick Francesco.
Francis Falstaff we decided on.
20 minutes after the hour. And it sounds like.
You guys are killing
Robert
me.
Robert F. Linton. We don't know what the F stands for.
Oh, Falstaff, I'll tell you off the air.
The clean, that's all we can think of that was clean. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. And now, ladies and gentlemen, on the Soundbite Show with his very own theme song, Nick Francesco. Hi there. Thanks for that. I am Nick Francesco. This is Soundbites, and
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton. And, you know, Nick, you're really talented because you can open for yourself.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I saved the cost of an announcer.
Unfortunately,
I don't get paid to be that announcer.
That would be Out to Sea, where he opens
Brent Spiner opens for himself.
Yep.
Yeah. Out to Sea, Walter Matthau.
Yep.
Yep. Yes, I do. I've said this before. I do have my own theme song here because I'm the entertainment critic on the Wham Morning Show with Beth and Chet. So I actually get my own. They don't usually play it, but I have one.
Well, you know, a lot of people when they see me, they say, "Does Nick ever sleep?" And my you know, they're like, "How's he do it?" And it's just like, you know, coffee. You know what I mean?
God,
I mean, that's really what it is.
Flower City Coffee.
We just had a post in the forum that the meadery in Sterling is closed. And he moved it to the Cayuga Wine Trail at the junction of 322 and 89. And there's also another meadery on Seneca Lake. If you head down Geneva, down 14 from Geneva, you go past a meadery there, too.
Meadery?
Yeah.
Where you buy mead, where they make mead.
Isn't it called a butcher shop?
No, not meatery. Mead, as meadery. In the honeyed wine.
Okay. I was only catching like bits and pieces of that. I thought you were talking about a place that sells meat.
No, mead.
All right. At the Renaissance Festival, you got to have your to have your ale, your grog, and your mead.
Exactly. Not necessarily in that order.
Yeah. Whatever.
Skype users, pay attention. Many Skype users from Europe to Latin America were not able to use, and in the U.S., were not able to use the popular program to make long-distance calls using their computers because of a software problem. Skype, which is a division of the online auction company eBay, I bet you didn't know that, posted on its website that many of its users were having problems logging into the free service. Our engineering team has determined that it's a software issue. We expect to resolve this within 12 to 24 hours. And actually, as of yesterday, the Skype website said the problems were resolved and that they explained fully tomorrow, Monday. It was not immediately clear how many users were affected, but Skype users in Vietnam, Colombia, Brazil, Germany, Finland, and the U.S. reported difficulties logging on. Judging from the timing of comments, some users had been without service for nearly 20 hours. The blog that had all this stuff on it also dispelled growing rumors in cyberspace that the program and the company had crashed or been the victim of hackers. The blog said the problem was caused by a deficiency in an algorithm within Skype networking software. This controls the interaction between the user's own Skype client and the rest of the Skype network. Skype has nearly 220 million accounts, but there are usually about 5 or 6 million of them online at any time. In January, Skype reported it count 9 million users online at one time. By anybody's standards, that's pretty successful. So if you've had trouble getting on Skype, the theory is it should be fixed by now. Our next caller is Craig from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Craig. What's your question?
I'm running Windows 2000, and my icons are getting corrupt. they're swapping around. Like uTorrent is really showing up as the Windows Media Player icon.
Oh, you're getting the wrong icon for the program.
That's correct, on the desktop.
You can change that yourself.
Yeah, that usually
all of them
occurs.
Or some of them?
They're slowly changing over days.
Yeah. Well, again, I dance the Security Tango, because it may be a virus, but it is also likely that there's a corruption somewhere in the... Do you leave this machine on all the time?
Most of the time, yes.
You might try rebooting.
Okay.
Because what happens is when your computer starts up, it loads all of the icons that are on the desktop into something called the heap. Unfortunately, the heap is where it also loads fonts and pointers to all your windows. So if you have a whole lot of stuff on your desktop, it may fill the heap and start overfilling it and causing corruption. So if you have too many icons on your desktop or too many fonts or too many windows open, something can get corrupted. And of course, it fixes again when you reboot. But if you don't reboot, then you're never going to fix it. That has been fixed in Windows XP by making a bigger cache. So it just takes longer before it'll happen. Windows and Vista does the same thing. They haven't actually fixed the problem. They've just made it bigger.
Okay.
So really, I think that will solve your problem.
Okay. We'll try it.
All right. Let us know.
Yep.
Thanks, Craig. Our next caller is Keith from his garage. Welcome,
well,
Keith.
To be honest with you, while I was on hold, I was able to wash my small pickup truck.
Hey, so you're sitting in the back of the pickup truck now? Are you fishing?
I'm in the driveway, but I was standing in the garage when they... Where are you from? Or where are you? Well, hey, you guys are talking about service. Now, I own a service company.
Uh-huh.
People, one of the things when you come and look at their problem, they always ask you what it costs. And this is the honest truth. I always tell them the most I can get. And then they'll look at me, stunned. I said, but I will guarantee it. If you don't like it, you don't pay. And one time in the 32 years I've been in business, I had to make a financial adjustment. But what people have a problem with, paying for something, and it doesn't solve the problem.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Your computer, your car, or you go to the doctor.
Yep.
And I personally detest that.
Yep.
When somebody says, well, we're going to try this, and then if that doesn't work, we're going to do this and charge you some more. I go, no, fix the problem.
Yep. And right.
You can't tell me. Don't guess.
Yep.
And with any service, no matter whether it be repair or any type of, well, service is repair, but there are other things too, like car washing and things like that. So, yeah, I'll talk to you guys.
Thank you, Keith. That's excellent advice, and I'm sure your customers all get great service if with an attitude like that. Our next caller is David from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, David. What's your question?
Question for Steve. I've got a Mac that actually, Steve, you've worked on before. I got 9.2 on one drive and 10.2 on the other. I can't get out of 10.2. It won't shut down. It won't switch to let me reboot the other drive. It just keeps on spinning. You know, the clock icon. I have to hit the reboot button and try to get the Norton disk in the next time, reboot again, and come up in the Norton disk. It's giving me two errors. A volume header block, the free block, is incorrect. And then they've got a series of numbers. In the allocation file, the contents of the file do not agree with the locations of all files as shown in the catalog. It has corrected this problem twice. You know, supposedly when I run the Norton disk.
Yeah, that's probably the problem. It has not corrected that file, which is an issue.
Yeah.
The one of the problems is that Norton Utilities was abandoned 2 or 3 years ago, and they haven't updated it in many years.
So it probably doesn't work well on 10.2.
Well, it doesn't work at all on 10.4 and will corrupt a 10.4 disk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's why they abandoned it 2 years ago, because they didn't want to bother updating it. Symantec said they're concentrating on their antivirus programs and abandoning their utility programs.
Well, isn't that nice of them?
Yeah.
So TechTool, would that do it?
TechTool is more hardware level. You have directory problems. You can start with Apple Disk Utility, which is on your system disk.
Okay.
Or a program like Disk Warrior, which is specifically for repairing directory problems.
Is that something I can buy or is that on the net?
Yeah, I think they have a free download. I don't remember now. A lot of times the utility companies will have a download that will scan your drive. They won't actually fix anything unless you pay for it. But they may have a trial copy to download.
In the meantime, when I boot up in the Norton disk, I can get into that disk, and I could take out the system folder for the OS X drive. Would that allow me to boot up in the 9.2?
Yeah, but you don't have to do that. Just go to the startup control panel and pick the OS 9 disk or go to the boot manager.
It won't let me do that. It'll keep on spinning. That's what I mean. It won't shut down and won't let me when it goes to...
So it won't shut down even when you're booted from the Norton disk?
It will shut down when I boot from the Norton disk.
So while you're booted from the Norton disk, go to the startup control panel. Or you can go into the boot manager before you boot and pick which hard drive you want to boot from.
Yeah, you know, like hitting the option key?
Right.
That doesn't work either. It keeps on spinning.
That drive is corrupted.
What do you mean keeps on spinning?
Yeah, the clock.
When you turn the computer on...
The beach ball.
You hold down the option key.
Right.
And that will take you to the boot manager.
Right.
And then you pick which drive you want to boot from.
And I can't... It won't click on anything. It'll just keep on showing me the clock.
Oh, in the boot manager.
Right.
Yeah, it's got to scan for all available hard drives, and that can take a minute or two. And then it will come back and let you pick which drive you want to boot from.
Boy, I've let it go for a long time, and it doesn't...
it sounds like there's a lot more wrong with the drive then, if the directory's that corrupted.
I better bring her in to you.
Probably, yeah, it sounds like it.
Okay.
Sort of what we mentioned to an earlier caller, if you don't care about the files on the disk anymore, you can erase it and start over again. But if you want your files back, then you probably want to bring it in.
All right.
And that's another good point for keeping a backup. If you had a good backup of all your files, you could just erase your hard drive and restore.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But who of us does?
Yeah. Well, my backup drive filled up a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't gotten around to getting a new backup drive.
Yeah. Yeah. You know how dangerous that is.
Yeah. Well, I had a 200 gig backup drive, which is fine until I put my 500 gig hard drive in the computer.
Yeah, but most of that stuff you can download from the porn sites again. Anyway.
Well, actually, most of it is downloads, so I'm trying to figure out how to not back up my downloads because they're old anyway.
Right, right. Yeah. But I discovered that the other day. I was trying to make some space. I found stuff from like 1998 that I've moved from machine to machine to machine that really, seriously, I truly don't need anymore. And then I had that moment of, well, do I archive it or do I just,
I used to burn stuff to CD, but, you know, that's only 700 megs, so that's nothing anymore.
Right.
And then for a while I burned to DVD, that's only 4 gigs, that's nothing anymore.
Right. Now my documents folder backs up to 2 separate places on the internet.
Yeah.
So, you know, it there's got to be some fairly massive problem where I'm not going to really worry about where my documents are for them to all be gone, but still. All right, do I have time for another call? Yeah, maybe. We'll take Tom from Geneseo. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Yeah, good morning, guys. I just was curious about, I've used Macs for quite a while, and I've never, ever used an antivirus program, and I've never, ever had an issue. Just wondering.
That you know of.
That I know of. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But, you know, I was wondering about that, if that's still a wise choice.
Well, personally, I think it's never a wise choice not to run antivirus for 2 reasons. One is there are viruses for the Mac, but equally and perhaps even more important, you want to be a good net citizen. If you get an email that you pass on to somebody and it's got a virus, you really should have been the person to delete that virus before it got sent on. And that's why we tell Mac people, if for no other reason, that's why Mac people should run antivirus.
Is there something you can recommend for that?
Well, Norton Antivirus is the big commercial one. There's also Intego Virus Barrier. If you're an enterprise user, you can still get Virex. McAfee bought Dr. Solomon, who made Virex, and turned it into corporate only. And then there's the free antivirus we mentioned earlier at the top of the show, Clam AV. The Clam AVX or Clam XAV? Clam XAV, I think.
Maybe.
One of them. Clam AV for OS X, which is a free antivirus program.
I see. Okay.
There was an interesting essay, I guess is the right word, on one of the Mac News sites a few months ago about antivirus. And his bottom line was don't bother running it on a Mac for a couple of reasons. That antivirus programs rely on known patterns of viruses. If a new virus comes out, your antivirus program isn't going to catch it. Most of the antivirus programs, especially something like Norton, are so obtrusive and resource hungry that it's going to slow your machine down. And most of the viruses don't pass through email anymore because the ISPs are scanning for viruses. So if you want to slow your machine down and not make much sense, okay, go ahead and run one. But it is a good idea to be a net citizen.
Machines are so fast now that the minimal slowdown you get from a good one like Clam or like AVG or Avast isn't even noticeable.
One of the annoying things that Norton does, it's a good but annoying thing, and I see everyone turn it off. Every time you stick in a disk, it will scan it. So floppy disk, hard disk, CD. People hate sitting there for that minute while it takes to scan the drive, even if it scans in the background. So they end up turning that off, and now you've just, you know, removed your protection, basically.
Yeah.
Gone to my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay, well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
No, thank you very much. I'm still a believer in good net citizenry, but that's just me, I guess. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. We've got a couple people on the line, a couple lines open, so give us a call. It's 39 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. We're, Dave has stepped out of the room for just a moment, but he will return as soon as he can. In the meantime, I do want to talk about cable companies seem to be facing a fairly large bandwidth crunch. If you're starting to become frustrated with the download speed of your cable ISP, a relatively low number of HD channels available, apparently you ain't seen nothing yet. Every cable provider will soon be faced with a serious bandwidth crunch, according to a new report released by ABI Research. The problem comes from more demanding applications, including high-definition video, video on demand, online gaming, and higher bandwidth internet applications. The result? Big problems like fewer HD channels and sputtering download speeds if the industry doesn't respond to the challenges in front of it. The increasing bandwidth demands on cable operators will soon reach crisis stage, yet this is a dirty little industry secret that nobody talks about, says Stan Schatt, VP and Research Director for ABI Research. Currently, cable providers need close to 750 megahertz of spectrum to deliver the goods, about 676 megahertz for download applications like analog cable, digital cable, HD programming, video on demand, internet data, and VoIP service. Upstream spectrum needs are comparatively paltry, totaling about 54 megahertz. You're looking at about 750 megahertz of spectrum, which isn't going to be enough in the future, says ABI Research. Uploading bandwidth is going to have to increase. Boy, ain't that the truth. And the cable providers are going to get killed on bandwidth as HD programming becomes more commonplace. This is not insurmountable. It's certainly all doable. The problem is the cost. It's not cheap to upgrade the entire infrastructure, and they're going to have to look at doing that before they can really get all of the stuff that they want happening. So,
you remember the early days of cable internet? I was one of the first people
too.
Playing with cable and beta testing it really, really, really fast until everyone else started getting on it.
Right.
And the irony was is that modems started getting faster as everyone left modems.
Yeah, yeah.
And now that everyone's on broadband, broadband is slower again.
Yeah. Well, that's
but modems can be really fast now.
That's no one's using them. Yeah, that's one of the things I like about my DSL. I do not share with anyone
until you get to the phone switch.
Well, until I get to the phone switch, where the pipe is so big, who cares?
Yep.
I mean, I get 6 megabits all the time, day, night, when the latest World of Warcraft patch comes out. Doesn't matter to me. I get 6 megabits per second. That's faster than some, slower than others. I don't care. It's constant.
There was
all
a
the
question
time.
In the forums. I was just answering right now about that too. It all depends. If you're a long way from the phone switch, DSL is going to be slow. If there's a lot of people,
they
in
call
your,
it the central office, although it is neither centralized nor an office.
Right? Yeah, the CO.
Right.
If there's a lot of people in your neighborhood on cable, then your cable internet's going to be slow. So. You know, buy them both, see which one's better, and cancel one.
It is fascinating. Yeah, right, exactly. I had cable for many, many years, and I loved it. And it was interesting to watch it get slower, and then speed up. And then get slower and slower and speed up. Mm-hmm. And what happened was more and more people got on, then they would split off some of them to another head end.
Yeah.
And then more and more people would get on, and they split them off again. So it got better and worse and better and worse.
Yeah, I'm in the process of moving. In fact, if anyone wants to come and help, you know, Wednesday and Thursday, we're going to be packing to you all.
Particularly somebody with a truck.
Yeah. But so I'm in the process of moving, which is a good time to switch, but I don't want to give up my email address. See, and I never got around to having my own custom domain name, and now my name's already taken. So it's rough. But then one of the things because I keep my phone.
MacManSteve.com.
Yeah, I think.
Come on, that's got to be available. Once,
yeah. Well, I looked at StephenRay.com, and it was really, really irony. It's like 5 years ago I looked at this. It was already registered. That night, I had an email in my mailbox. Do you want to buy this domain? I was at a customer site. I was not using my own internet. I never logged in. How much of a coincidence is that?
Maybe.
You're right. The guy who owned that domain saw that someone looked, did a global net search for that name, and sent me an email.
Right. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We've got a couple people on the phone. We will take care of them when we come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 49 minutes after the hour. Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 53 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Soundbites. We're going to go right to
should
the
we,
phones.
Well, should we mention, we're trying to think of what to do for our 18th anniversary.
Which is in just a couple of weeks.
And we've been bouncing the idea of a pub crawl. If any of you own a pub and would like us to crawl around, give us a call.
Steve will crawl.
But, so we're thinking about something we could do for our anniversary.
Yeah, just something interesting and fun.
Yes, I like Rob's idea that we can't repeat
Rob's
on
got,
the air.
Rob's got a good idea, but... Bring him in. We have webcams.
It's too bad the nerve is gone. They used to do that all the time.
But we could, we'd like to do something, for the public. Maybe a pub crawl would be actually kind of fun. Something where we could all just meet somewhere.
Drunk geeks.
What?
Drunk geeks.
Nothing like them. Yep. Nothing like them. But we'll think about this more and announce it more next week. If you have any ideas.
Ideas. We're open for ideas.
Let us know, either in the forums or email us or just scream out a window real loud or whatever it takes.
Or we just have a big bash at Jeff Hollett's house and we don't know.
We don't tell him until we get there.
Hey, Jeff, we're coming over. Okay.
Jeff's birthday is tomorrow.
Our next caller is Phil from Brockport. Welcome, Phil. What's your question? Phil?
2 weeks ago, my flat-screen computer monitor developed horizontal lines that seem to roll very slowly from top to bottom. And before I run out and buy a new monitor, I'm wondering if there's something else I should be checking first.
What frequency are you running it at? Because that's often the issue with something like that.
Really? I think it's 70? Yeah. 65 or 70.
Yeah, try a different frequency. Check the manual to see what the native frequency is.
60 should be common to all monitors.
Yeah.
Okay. But is there some reason
60 is rough because your fluorescent lights fluoresce at 60 hertz.
Well, I didn't mean you'd want to leave it there, but try it there to see if it goes away.
Try a couple different ones.
Is there any reason why I would just start suddenly for no reason? I've had this monitor for 2 years. It's been perfectly fine up until then.
Well, like anything else, it's an electronic device. Who knows when it's going to pop on you.
Okay, but
I mean, with the heat, heat that we've had and the brownouts and everything else, that's been putting a strain on a lot of people's computers. I've had a number of folks bring their systems in because of the brownouts and all that, have blown motherboards, you name it.
Another thing you can take a look at is the cabling. Quite often, especially on the back of the computer and even on the back of the monitor, people will shove the computer up against the wall or the back of the desk or something, and the cables will get bent really harshly, and over time the wires will start to fray. So that's something to look at. If you wiggle the cable, does it go away, kind of thing?
Doesn't sound like the video card to you then, does it?
It could be. If you have another monitor to try it with or another computer to try that monitor on, that can help isolate it.
The way to isolate it.
Yeah, talk to a friend about bringing your monitor over.
That's the nice thing about the flat panels is they're so much easier to carry now.
Yeah, exactly.
They're great.
Exactly. I'm sorry we don't have a better answer for that, but that's kind of where that stands at the moment.
Yeah, check the manual in the monitor to see what the native resolution and frequency is, and make sure you set it at that.
Bring your monitor over to a friend's house and check it. If the monitor works there, the problem is probably your graphics card. If the monitor has the same problem there, then you know it's the monitor. Or it's that frequency thing. All right, our next caller is Sherry from Greece. Welcome, Sherry. What's your question?
Hi, I have Windows XP, and I also have a Kodak digital camera. And every time I've ever downloaded the Kodak EasyShift program, my entire system runs really, really slow. And seems like it starts up automatically when I turn on my computer. And, of course, it takes forever to get the programs going, so I have to delete it in order to be able to search the web and do anything.
Well, just go into your startup group and remove the EasyShare from the startup programs. What it does is it's sitting in the background waiting for you to plug your camera in. So when you plug your camera in, it automatically launches and downloads the pictures. So if you tell the EasyShare program not to launch at startup, then your window should run fine.
There ought to be a choice somewhere in your preferences.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because basically what it does is it constantly sits there. Are you there yet? Are you there yet? Are you there yet? And it just keeps eating up resources.
All right. We are done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton for being here. I'm Nick Francesco. Remember, if you have a suggestion for what to do for our 18th anniversary, Send it to us. Let us know what you think we should do. So far, yeah, honest ones. None of us have time for, you know, nonsense at this point. But we'd like to know because we'd like to do it. Maybe it'll be a pub crawl. We'll see what happens. But we will indeed be back next week here on 1180 WHAM. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. Next week, call earlier. Call more often for all the folks at WHAM. I want to thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week. Join us in the forums. I'm Nick Francesco, and you've been listening to Sound Bites at 58 minutes after the hour on 1180 WHAM.